Speaking on this program is Joe Ware.
The Bible makes it clear what we're to do when we assemble on the first day of the week. And I'm thankful that I can be among men and women who believe what the Bible teaches. And I'm thankful that we can be happy in knowing that we have worshiped God in spirit and in truth. When we come in this assembly with faithful people, and when we come together to break God's Word and to consider it for a few moments, to raise our voices in prayer to the God of heaven through Jesus Christ, our brother, our Lord and our Savior. Oh, how wonderful it is to sing together, to teach each other through songs, and to glorify God through these songs. To give of our means so the kingdom may be advanced as God has blessed us. And for baptized believers to meet around the table to commemorate the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus until He comes again, and He will come again. I'm humbled to stand in this pulpit. All of you know that Hebrews 9:29 teaches, as it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment. I still have a picture in my mind a few years ago. As a matter of fact, perhaps only 2 years ago, maybe even less, as I witnessed a memorial on one of the television stations for four beautiful young women who were killed in a tragic automobile accident. The parent of one of them said this was a wonderful, happy, exciting family trip that started out with so much expectation and so much happiness and ended so abruptly, so tragically, and so finally. This lesson this morning, if I should give it a title, would be, if I should die today or if I should die tonight, where shall I spend eternity? I remember just a few weeks ago in my own office, a young man of age 30, just starting, a man whom I had personally trained for about 3 weeks or 4 weeks, and if you'll pardon my language, who sat within spitting distance of me, whose life was gone forever in what we term a freak accident. Now, I know, brethren and friends, the very moment that I raise these sorts of questions, that there are some people that will say, is he going to preach a sermon just to touch my emotions? The answer is no. But the lesson this morning is designed to challenge each of us to be ready. To be ready to meet our Lord. And I want to challenge the young men and young women in this room this morning who are 30 and 40 and 50 who think it's abnormal to contemplate leaving this earth. It's not. In Romans 14:12, inspiration writes so simply and so clearly, so then every one of us will give account of himself unto God. Part of my little family and I moved back up to this wonderful part of the world some 11 years ago. It seems like it was just yesterday. And since then, brethren, all of life and part of living has been to see two of my sisters buried, one of my brothers, my mother, and a nephew. I'm telling you, friends and brethren, people die. And it's natural. And I'm also telling you something else as a preacher of the gospel, that most people refuse to be ready. And I know wonderful families, and this family of Christ here have recently lost forever the physical presence of close loved ones. And the sad but honest truth is that on this earth today, millions die every day, and the vast, vast majority are not ready to meet Christ. They are not ready to give an account. And I hope and pray this morning, as we go through this brief lesson, that every person in this room will be convicted that I must be ready at any time to meet my Lord. The way it actually is in this world, the phone rings at 9:00 at night, and a loved family member or a neighbor or friend is no longer with us physically. And yet so many do not want to think that the young die too. I remember just a few years ago the horrible tragedy of a young lady from David Lipscomb University with an excursion group falling over the cliffs just out the road at Fall Creek Falls to her death. And then I contemplate my own young nephew who was crushed by a tractor in a tractor trailer parking area. And I want you all to remember too that physical death is final. It is forever. And Joe Ware needs to be ready. And a young brother Rodney needs to be ready. And every child of God needs to be ready to meet his Lord or her Lord. So my question to you that emanates from God's Word is, am I ready? If I should die today, if I should die tonight, where will I spend eternity? We have to ask the question as children of God, will my soul be lost or will I be saved? In 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 1, the Scriptures read, "We then, as workers together with Him, beseech you, we beg you also, that you receive not the grace of God in vain." Let us not have God's wonderful grace in vain. Let us not live our life so that it has been vain. And let it be said that my life and your life was something for Christ. If I should die today out of Christ, if I should die today as a child of God who's wandered away from the faith, if I have grown cold, if I have grown useless in the system, in the kingdom, then I will have given away the grace of God given to me so freely. I would lose everything, for I can take nothing with me. The Apostle Paul tells us through inspiration in 1 Timothy 6 and verse 7, "For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out." And I think that leads to this question: what am I saving for? For what am I planning? And where am I putting my energy and my effort and my talent? I believe that every time an assembly this large comes together, that there are people who need to be restored. And it is entirely possible as we come together in this fashion today that there could be one or two or three or more people who've never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's why this lesson is being preached. If I should die tonight, where will I spend eternity? Is there a person in this room this morning? Yes, you can call this the invitation early in the lesson. Is there a Christian in this room this morning who's only half-hearted? And by the way, brethren, I've never heard as an effective and a better lesson in all my life as Brother Colley gave us last Sunday morning here, as he talked to us about the church in Laodicea, as he preached God's Word from that portion of the New Testament in Revelation. And it was all about being ready and making our lives count for something for Jesus Christ, so that we need not pillow our head anxious about tomorrow or anxious about what might happen or what might come. There will be challenges, there will be sorrows, there will be tragedies, there will be death. Am I ready? I told my wife, I knew better. I said it was all I could do was not to just simply stand up and come down the aisle and say amen, because those words from Revelation couched so beautifully in the language that Brother Colley presented as a gospel preacher touched my mind. God was challenging me through that sermon to be ready, to mean something, to stand for something. Is there a good man or woman here this morning who believes that Jesus Christ is God's Son, but you've never turned from sin in your life, you've never fully repented, you've never stood up before Christian friends and brethren and said, "I believe the great confession, I believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son," and to be immersed, to be baptized for forgiveness of sins? You ought to do that today. If I should die tonight, where will I spend eternity? In And even if I don't die, if I choose to remain lukewarm, if I choose to remain non-committed to the cause of Christ, if I choose to merely be a bench warmer, if I choose to stay outside the body of Christ, I have denied all that God has in store for me as His child. The peace and comfort and assurance that comes only to human beings who are in Christ Jesus as saved, forgiven individuals. The Apostle Paul wrote to us in Romans 14 and verse 17, "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit." We're also encouraged that at least faithful Christians are encouraged when they read Romans 8 and 28, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them that are called according to His purpose." So the question is, am I living this morning in compliance with God's will and purpose for me as revealed in the Bible, God's Word, and God's message to me? Fourthly, if I should die today or tonight in a lost capacity, I simply will cry out in vain on the day of judgment. I realize it's a popular thing among so-called liberal and loose Christian religion, and I use that very loosely myself today, to not talk about the day of judgment. To not even bring up the issue of people being lost forever. And yet God sees that we understand from Revelation 6, verses 16 and 17, "To those who stayed disobedient and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of Him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of His wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand?" I cannot stand because of my own strength. I cannot stand based on my earned qualifications. But I stand and you stand because we believe and obey what God has said do. If I should die tonight, where shall I spend eternity? Jesus put it so clearly that a child could understand. As He was addressing this issue in Matthew 25 and verse 46, speaking to the disbelieving and disobedient, Jesus, the Son of God, said, "And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous to life eternal." In Revelation 20 and verse 10, the Bible teaches that those who disobey God have no hope of eternal happiness and joy. "And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever." It's so sad, isn't it, when we see a brother or sister in the flesh. It's unspeakably sorrowful when we see a son or a daughter or a grandson or granddaughter grow weak or stray from the faith. And I do not believe that there's a person in this room who wants to see a brother or sister in the faith or in the flesh live in eternal punishment. So then I believe that it's incumbent upon each of us to encourage one another, to not be ashamed of the gospel, so that we can teach and encourage and admonish each other to be strong and to be faithful and to be ready. It's not a sad thing when a Christian dies, though we're momentarily heartbroken. With our spiritual eyes and hearts, we understand that when a man or woman at 12 or 15 or 20 or 30 or 70 or 90 passes from this life, what a blessing. But when lukewarm Christians die, when those who are hypocritical in their faith die, when those who are unsaved because they're disobedient die, there's no hope, there's no joy. And yet, while it is day today, we have the opportunity in our own lives personally and in the lives of our loved ones to encourage to salvation, to obedience. If I should die today outside of Jesus Christ, I will lose heaven. Here's the picture that John was showed of his Heavenly Father in Revelation 21, the first three or four verses. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, and the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, "Behold," that is, "look, see, the tabernacle of God is with men, and they will dwell with Him. They shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God." This is the promise to the faithful. "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." Every class I've sat in here for the over 2 years my wife and I have been here, every sermon I've heard preached by Brother Boyd, Brother Colley, and by other very capable men in this room has been aimed at keeping me ready to meet God. And I respect and appreciate them for that. It is right for a gospel preacher, for an elder, a teacher, a friend, a brother, to ask, "Am I ready?" It is a positive thing for us to contemplate meeting our Heavenly Father, meeting Jesus Christ at the judgment. If I should die tonight, and if I should not be ready, I shall lose my soul. And as we get ready to close this lesson in 4 or 5 minutes, I wonder who I can blame. You see, we live in a culture today that says blame somebody else. If I leave this wonderful assembly this morning unprepared to meet my God, then I must blame me and my good friends and neighbors and brethren. If I should part this life this evening unprepared, I can know this, I've got an eternity to blame me. For you see, brethren and friends, God still loves the world so much that His Son is still the Savior. John 3:16. You see, friends and relatives and brethren and good people in this room, that there are people who are not ashamed of the gospel of Christ and who love it and who live it and who share it so that others may meet Christ happily, joyously. I can't blame God because He gave me His Son. I cannot blame Jesus Christ because He loves me so much. He died for me. I cannot blame the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, because God the Holy Spirit has brought me all truth through the inspired apostles. I only have me to hold accountable. But we see Jesus made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that He, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Hebrews 2 and verse 9. God doesn't want any person to be lost. The Apostle Peter explains that so clearly in 2 Peter 3 and verse 9. That God's patience and long-suffering is with us so long as we're living. But it's while we're living that we must be ready for the dying, to meet an honest and a forever true and a forever righteous judge in the day of judgment. If I should die this evening, where will I spend eternity? God invites us every day through His Word. In Revelation 22 and 17, listen as God states the invitation in this manner. "And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely."